This is The Poet and the Poem from the Library of Congress. I'm Grace Cavalieri. We have a room full of poets here, more than we can imagine, powerful voices in the community, and they are called The Right Blend, W-R-I-T-E, Blend. And Diane Wilbon Parks is the progenitor of this, or the leader, and she's going to tell you what it is. What is the Right Blend Collective?
The Right Blend is a unique poetry circle with very distinctive talents and gifts from each of these poets. So we have six poets, and each of them are uniquely different. We wanted to do something more or less with cultural diversity as well as poetic and artistic diversity. So diversity is on all levels here.
And we have some signature music, I understand, that you have performed every time that you are presented. That's Cliff Bernier. And if you hear that, you will always know it's the Right Blend. So he'll be showing his talent more with his own poetry. So as we speak, tell everyone your names. And I'm very interested in why anyone wants to get together in a group when poetry is such an individual enterprise. So I'd like each of you to tell me why bother, why do this, why put your time out to be part of a whole instead of being totally individual. So just give your name and tell me about that.
Sure. My name is Kyan Thomas. One of the reasons why I'm excited about being a part of The Right Blend is an opportunity to expose myself, challenge myself, my own poetic gifts to other levels of diversity to expand that gift.
Hello, I'm Billie O'Kara, and my being in the group is just an invitation for me to get out into the community. I had stayed shut up with my poetry for so long. It's been a couple of years since I've been out, and so Diane's invitation was just a gift.
My name is Liz Reitzig, and part of the beauty of this group to me is how empowering it is to be among a group of poets. And at the same time, we each have a safe space to be truly expressive, what it means to us in our poetry, and to be accepted and belong in this group.
I love it.
I'm Hiram LaRue. I like the group because I like moonlight. And I like the reflection, gleam, and glow of this collective group.
So now you know the quality of the voices.
I'm Cliff Bernier, and I'm part of this group because it connects me with the diversity of perspectives and poetic styles in the community.
Well, we are going to hear these poetic perspectives and styles now, and we're going to hear a poem from each one of these collectives, and you will see how individual, how unique, and how very special each voice is. And the reason coming together is like putting different parts of a spectrum into little quadrants into a pie to make a whole. So I would love to hear your work. If you want to set it up first, that'll be great. So just tell us the name of the poem. Maybe if it has a backstory, you can give us that. And we'll start with Kyan. Give us your name first so they can remember you.
Sure. Kyan Thomas. I am going to read a poem that is called There is Blood on the Cotton. It was actually a writing prompt received from The Right Blend to let the word color or the concept of color inspire you. There is blood on the cotton. Snowy white and neatly folded rows of tees stand at attention in the dresser, each one whispering, pick me. As eyes scan the open drawer, textile perfection, almost, until the nick on his chin drips. There is blood on the cotton. And like that, the fabric of our lives is the fiber of his anguish, rows of cloud-like purity stained with the blood of human chattel, King Cotton ruled with a leather whip. The economic backbone broke down many black bones, making bank bones, but only for the bones covered in white skin. Men, women, and children bow in reverence to a hot sun and a cold king, racing against daylight, ignoring the screams of their worn bodies, backs bent, hands picked, fingers pricked, blood drips, and there is blood on the cotton. Camera flash forward. snowy white tees still stand at attention, perfection lost with only one single drop, a sure castaway. With ancestral courage, his shaky mulatto hands reached in the open drawer and rescued himself. Under Ralph, Givenchy, and Armani, a subtle reminder, there is blood on the cotton.
That is so powerful. That is so powerful. And using those names, those designer names at the end, is you bring it home. You really bring it home. What inspired you to write this beyond a prompt?
If I'll be honest with you, I have a relative who went to a local hobby craft store and saw cotton decoration for sale. And being of African American descent, it stirred something in her. And she called me and began to emote about it, and it inspired the poem.
Now the public knows where poems come from. They really come from anecdotes. They come from conversations. That's really enlightening. That's really helpful. Billy, what inspired your poem?
My poem is called More Than Music. And actually, it was a prompt from the group, but it was at the time of Aretha Franklin's death.
Okay, let's hear it.
Okay, More Than Music. This was more. More than music warming the air with myriad confusions and intruding lights blinking into voices hurriedly hushed to silent expectations. This was more than revelation. Before the curtains rise and the cagey crowd's cries summoning Toscanini to stage, baton in hand, demanding of player and prayer the care and proper tending of timing, tone, and tune, a triune test of violin, viola, bass, laced, palpable masterpiece moments, mystic as Pavarotti's Puccini or Bessie's bluesy blue breath, bellowing the mellowing loud when my mama's Victrola. Mm. This was more than gift. Those sold old hymns, Mahalia, a hosting, holy ghosting sinners higher than heaven, more than grand, standing there outside of staff, line, and space, bringing that grace for grace to music's musing melodies in C sharp major, loosening our moorings as we soared high upon the pyre of startling grief. Mm. Noun. Low in lamenting relief, the lullabies we sing her noun, attuned to treble cleft, bereft, beholding the folding arms and foreboding charms of Miss Franklin's final bow.
Whoa, that moves like liquid gold. That awesome. Are you a singer?
No, I'm not.
But you're a poet. That's close, almost the same thing.
Yeah, it is the same.
How did you get that momentum? What is in you that got that thing from line to line, like a waterfall?
I think I just grew up loving poetry, and I think her death was so strikingly a feeling of loss, till it just, you know, and I've heard her sing I've heard her sing classical, gospel, whatever, so even the reference to Puccini and Toscanini accurately fit her.
Yeah.
She was amazing.
I love the way your short lines get us from one place to another. Those short lines that will never fail us because they will really flow to the next line. Really good example of poetry. And Liz, what is your poem?
My poem is called The Color of Pain. Reflection is a loud bang as yellow clouds morph into the wind with a nod toward Saturn's pink rings. The day gives no reprieve to the purple-black bruise over her left eye where his fist landed last night. The color of silence is the smell of shame coiled tightly in her throat as she chokes on the putrid scream spreading through her veins, dripping red from the split skin where his knife left its marks and his intentions left nothing uncertain. Fear is the sight of her loved ones trapped by the brown-green quicksand of someone else's rage. The color of death is the sparkle of diamonds dancing on her finger, locking her to her silence, as loud as the gunshot that covers the blue sky over her grave.
the voice of Liz Ryzik. We're at the Library of Congress. I'm Grace Cavalieri. This is the Right Blend Collective. You know, don't tell me that a poem cannot deliver more than an op-ed in the paper, because that is such a statement, such a picture of domestic violence. And it is so important that people think poetry is such a small voice no one can hear. We say very loud things. You have a service to provide, because that is so beautiful and so powerful. It has a bit of hate in it. That's what works. There is no hate in it. So I do hope that we see a book from you this year. Okay. Diane, let's hear from you.
This poem is titled Your Turn. There is an open field of spotless eyes that gazes back at you, knows your heartbeat, hears the songs of you. A ribbon leans into your spotlight, tugs you, lets you know that it's your turn now. The earth releases its coronet of sounds. Sometimes the loudest echo distorts the harmony, but your ears will only hear the melodies that speak to your heart. Even the earth's drumbeat becomes lost to thunder. The world leaves its footstep in the last march, in the last hope of you. The only murmur that holds you is the sound of her voice. You will need it. Like the beat of drums inside hearts, it keeps your cadence. The sweetest fold of your life will follow her shadows inside corners, too private to share, too new to become old. Don't be afraid of the field of the eyes. They know you. The hills are her shoulders, the ones you've always walked on, relied on. You will run with songs in your hair and dance on the collar of cities that will open and close you. You will blossom in the silent confetti of her gifts that will confess her life from yours. A ribbon leans into your spotlight with a gentle tug, letting you know that it's your turn now.
Diane, it's your turn now. And you have songs in your hair, songs in our hair. Writing is easy for you, isn't it?
It is.
You can tell, because it's wide-ranging. Mm-hmm. And she's not constricted by anything. She takes one image and then it bounces off to another image. So that's a beautiful gift. Also, we have to tell you that she is a world-class visual artist. We call her the Picasso of today. It is, you will remember her name, Diane Wilbon Parks, because soon you won't be able to afford her. In fact, you probably can't afford her already. And Cliff Bernier.
Hi, the poem I'm going to do is called All the Winds, and it's an ode to the jazz harmonica. All the winds that ever were blow through this harp. The Scirocco, scorching Africa. The Mistral, storming the Rhone. Trade winds charting the Indies. Westerlies pumping heat from the horse latitudes to the coasts of Capricorn and Cancer. The Pampero on the Pampas. Doldrums in the tropics. All the winds that ever were blow through this harp. From the first star. Music of the spheres, Aeolus conjuring cyclones, Zephyr foretelling spring, Phaleon summoning the sunlight, twisting tornadoes, rubatos, monsoons and hurricanes, shear, planetary pressure, spiraling squalls, willy-nilly and the dust devils. All the winds that ever were blow through this harp. The winds of change, the four sheets, pissing, spitting, downburst, up-tempo, the polar easterlies, sloping to Derecho, the bees, kissing the Alps, the Buran in Siberia, Rudra surfing the Luz, the jazz that composes life, movement in deep time. All the winds that ever were blow through this harp.
Cliff, how do you do that? Really? How long did it take you to do that?
Oh, I've been playing off and on for many years.
What did you have to overcome, Cliff, to write that poem?
Oh, it came to me as a realization that the breath that moves the harmonica is like the wind, and the winds of the world, and the wind that moves the stars in the music of the spheres, and it brought back Coleridge's poem to me, so that's...
And Hiram LaRue, beloved Hiram. Talk to us.
Well, Grace, first off, we want to all thank you for giving us this opportunity. It's hard to imagine how this variety can be held within the bounds of two covers. We have a book coming out. It's called, surprisingly, The Right Blend.
And it's beautiful.
And the cover art is by no one other than Diane Wilbon Parks. So look for it in the coming months. And we're very excited. I think it's close to 90 pages of this diversity of
voices. How many
voices.
Pages from each poet?
About seven, I believe. Yes. Is that right?
But
seven
how many poems. Are in the whole collective? Just six people?
Mm-hmm.
This is
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
And you have 70 poems.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'll tell you, how much is this painting? This is gorgeous.
Isn't it wonderful?
It is gorgeous.
Yeah.
My body
it
does
speaks.
Not lie.
I think
and
it
I
speaks
just,
to us. Yeah.
It talks about your collective,
yeah,
really.
Absolutely.
So give
the
us.
The variety.
Give us some Hiram.
This is a poem that I wrote with eyes closed, so kind of imagining. It's called Evening. Gnats know how lovely you are. So do yucca spears here on this island that makes you, takes you towards half-held clouds, takes you into rose risks of sunshine and the dip ferns peeled back that reveal such hiddens of you.
Mm.
No one else but you can golden the gnats. Or walk up the sand, shouldering this air like a country.
Thrill me.
Thank
Thrill
you.
Me again
thank you,
and
Grace.
Again and again. Really, what are you made of?
The right blend. The wrong blend.
There's no one like you. And so now we're going to go around again. And start with Diane.
Grace, I would love to read Forestine Bynum's poem.
Yes, tell us about that. Tell us about the Spotlight Poet.
Yes, Forestine Bynum was so kind to write an endorsement for the book. So she read the book, provided a wonderful endorsement, which is at the front of the book. Forestine Bynum, many people may know, was really... one of the first people that I know, or poets that I know, to really open the door for diversity in poetry. And so I just wanted to make sure that we include Forestine in this process, because she has had a lot to do with this, and she has a spotlight poem in the book.
Go for it.
Okay, it's called The Dance. I hear the rhythm and the beat of my forefathers as they dance to the sounds of drums, and I listen to the echoes of the tides carrying the moans of a stolen people. They dance a rapid beat of feet pounding mercy into hot clay and jumping with the motion and grace of birds in flight, singing merciful pleas, begging to be spared. High winds and low tides join the beat of the drums and the dance of night. Listen, I hear my ancestors motionless dance. I hear the silence of the drums and the quiet moans carried over the low tides. I hear the beat stop. I feel the rhythm's quietness. I know the sound of mercy. I know the dance of night. Listen, I hear my people.
Perfect pretext for this group. Mm. Perfect. You set us up. And Kyan is going to take it from there.
Sure. I'm going to read a piece called Facing South. Like the migrant bird, I turn my expectations south, gathering as many scattered memories from this fleeting sun season as I can. Like bare legs, impromptu picnics, face-devouring sunglasses and vitamin D overdoses, the winter is coming. And I must protect my soul from its cold talons. My wings are in spirit only. I cannot fly south. So I burn summer memories to keep me warm until the south returns to me.
I love the talons, the talons. Yes. Perfect, the poet knows the image. Cliff, we're back to you and your harmonica.
Okay, this one is a celebration of the early blues performers from the turn of the century through 1920 or so. It's called Cradle of the Blues. Born in the cradle of the blues, Ma Rainey, C.C. Ryder, in the cotton field, by the Little River Creek, under the rocking sun, made me love you. To the hollers and cries of work songs and tent shows, blackface and drag, Mammy Smith's crazy blues, Memphis Minnie shouting in the street, Bessie Smith walking her man with your 20 gold coins, bone scraping moan, cornrows, rabbit foot minstrel songs, black bottom blues, bow weevil blues, chain gang blues, mother of the blues. And she was born in the cradle of the blues. Born in the cradle of the blues, W.C. Handy, by the tracks to Clarksdale, saw a loose-jointed Negro plucking notes with a knife, going where the Southern crossed the dog. With the sadness of the ages, weirdest music I ever heard, no beginning and no end, like the ragged sun, like Charlie Patton and the water rising, like Son House hitching up his black pony, like Hal and Wolf shaking his ass, like steamboats and steam whistles. Stubborn Mules, Memphis Blues, Beale Street Blues, St. Louis Blues, father of the blues. And he was born in the cradle of the blues. Born in the cradle of the blues, Robert Johnson, at the crossroads, under the howling sun, sold his soul to the devil for a fast guitar, like in the churning dust. To Lucille Bogan's Dirty Blues, Ida Cox Raisin Cane, Jug Bands and Juke Joints, to Hokum Blues, Black Snake Blues, Bessie Smith bleeding on the highway, Blind Lemon Jefferson freezing in a blizzard. From the fabulous soil, poisoned by a jealous husband, Walking Blues, Me and the Devil Blues, Hellhound on my trail, from the Delta Blues. And they were born in the cradle of the blues.
We are better than we were before, honey. We're better than we were before. Okay, Liz.
Well, it's sure hard to follow Cliff there. This one is called Awaken. Wake up slowly. Feel the heartbeat of the world against your skin. Sink into being. The light that flits past outside your eyes, just out of grasp. Yes, that light. Grab it in your first lucid moment and let it take you on a journey past ideas, through right and wrong, above yes and below no. Mm. Then, in the moment of stillness, hover over the field so bright you cannot see it, but you can feel it in every heartbeat, with every breath into your fragile body. Wake up slowly. And in that moment, between now and forever, you will know who you are. Listen carefully to hear the voice of God sing your name in that softest lullaby as you find the only path to truth.
You know who you are, Liz. For sure. And we do too. Thank you so much. Billy,
Hi, I'm going to share a really short one called Doo-Wop Boys. Doo-wop boys sit on the stoop while booty short girls speak of stone cold souls they sent to cisterns, hardly winking or thinking that years to come they'll wear a lowered brow, beating their chest in sackcloth and ashes of regret. Mm-hmm. Yet the boys will go on sitting, singing their ditty, sitting pretty on a Southeast DC street, repeating the names of babies flushed and flayed. Mm-hmm. When the doo-wop boys played men.
That's Billy. And we're going to hear from Hiram now.
So this piece is in, I guess you'd say, joy of morning, of daylight, of daybreak. It's called Chanted. Day make candles grinning new, as almost firstings light us. Flicker hearts, these swaying points, our telling lives, our yellow glows, all ages gone and holders held, such foliage new and coming's kiss, how dawn most candles feel like May. For circles lift, bring bright inside, for lit and flowing days of make.
Now we know why poets rinse off language. If it weren't for poets, we'd all sound like the nightly news. But not while Hiram's around. Not while Hiram's around. We're going to end with Diane Wilbon Parks, the leader of the group.
The title of this poem is Night. She stood as dark as ever, waiting for me to follow. I chose her canopy for covering and faded into her like clouds. She sleepwalks in my skin, questioning the sound of my moods. We've been here before. Our souls crossed as she tucked the moon in my hair. We've lain on the subtle heels of her slanted cliffs and mountaintops trimmed in heavy coal, sprinkling dust over pitched blue moons and pillows while craving the intractable lips of her rivers. My eyes quickly fold, then flow through her mouth, kissing the banks of her salty lips as she stands stronger and darker than ever, glistening like diamonds peeking out of shadows. She eagerly tucks the soul of wild children, leaving their flesh to become lifeless sentences of old intellect. She wears truth like sandals. I'm left bald with the heartbeat of a wind I can't seem to convince any longer. She drags me into the strings of songs that a sandman carries. I go into her eagerly, night.
The voice of Diane Wilbon Parks, and the group is called The Right Blend. And this is The Poet and the Poem from the Library of Congress. The program is produced by Forest Woods Media Productions, post-production by Mike Turpin, MET Studios. We wish to thank the Library of Congress for making this program possible. Funding is provided by the Rivada Foundation of the Logan Family and the Sinipet Fund. Our engineer is Mike Turpin. I'm Grace Cavalieri.